Hello, and welcome to episode 65 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a show about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a special and occasionally controversial focus on statistical analysis. The Cleveland Cavaliers have just thumped the Boston Celtics 117-104 in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference Finals series. It's a short break before Game 2, which is on Friday in Boston at 8:30 Eastern on TNT. I am Keith Carter, a lifelong Cavs fan with an affinity for Bayesian modeling. My host is Arnav Chabra, a graduate student at MIT who constitutes, I don't know, at least 90% of the brains of this operation. How's it going, Arnav?
I'm doing pretty well. Didn't it feel like that game was played inside like a high school gym or something? It was so quiet most of it.
Yeah, they really took the crowd out of it quickly. Yeah. And it was sort of eerie at times. It was sort of fun at the end as they panned around the crowd and getting various sort of...
like people leaving early, 6 minutes early.
So. Reaction shots of people in despair. This is pretty satisfying.
At the end of the third, I feel like they pushed it a little closer, but it never got below like 15 or 14.
I haven't liked the way the Cavs deal with big third quarter leads all year long. They do this thing where they leave LeBron in and create a situation where they basically lose under any circumstance. Like if the lead gets bigger, they're still going to leave LeBron in. And if the lead gets shorter, they still leave LeBron in. Like there's no circumstance in the third quarter where they will ever buy LeBron James rest. But in any case, it hasn't mattered. And LeBron has established that he's basically able to play 42 minutes a game effectively.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off of 9 days of rest. I'm okay with it.
But you can imagine against an opponent that doesn't stink, that strategy coming back to bite him, but so far so good.
Yeah, they're going to have to buy him rest, like a few minutes here and there, basically, against the Warriors in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, he's able to modulate his energy. So even though he's playing 42 minutes, I mean, he's sort of at like three-quarter strength in the fourth quarter. So it doesn't, all sets of 42 minutes aren't created equal. And these ones are lighter than the average. But
did you see
I mean, at some point it could be a problem.
Did you see what LeBron just said? He said he didn't feel that great tonight.
Except I did. I saw the post-game interview with Chris and Ledlow. And he said the exact same thing, or basically the exact same thing as he said after game one against Toronto, which is, I wasn't feeling very good. This was a feel-out game. And I'm sure I'll be feeling better for game two.
It was a bit of an odd game, I feel like. We weren't shooting that well, but then we'd have periods where we shot well, but then they would shoot well too. You know, like we never got that huge lead, even though we were like up 25 or whatever, it didn't feel like we blew it open completely.
Yeah, I guess, but it also didn't feel like the Cavs were ever really trying at full speed either. So, I mean, it was just a layup line in the first half.
Yeah.
We thought they didn't have anyone who can guard LeBron James, and turns out they don't. And I just don't know what the Celtics can do against that.
Yeah. I don't think they stand a chance. I mean, LeBron,
they tried Marcus Smart, he just backed him down. They tried Jay Crowder. That didn't work.
They tried Al Horford at one point.
They did. They tried Olynyk a few times. I mean, it was ugly for the Celtics. I'm not sure. I mean, if you're Brad Stevens, what do you tell your team tonight?
Because they can't double him. They double him, he's just going to slice them up even more.
Right, right.
I think you just live with it. Just hope he tires out. That's your only hope.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're not winning this series anyway. So.
It helps them a little bit that there's only one day off between every game in this hopefully four-game series.
Yeah, who knows?
But
question for you.
Yes.
Do you think Al Horford is angry that he's now lost 12 in a row?
Yeah, I mean, we were saying the same thing about Jeff Teague, right? Like,
I feel like we just keep hunting these old Hawks players down one by one.
Yeah, I feel bad. Yeah, I mean, Korver couldn't beat it, so we had to join it.
The one everyone forgets about, though, is Damari Carroll, because he was on that Hawks team, too. And then
I forgot
Raptors
about him.
Last season and Raptors this season.
Yeah, well, at least they got two wins last year. But yeah, I mean, Carroll did anyway.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Horford just isn't really that playable against the Cavs. He's not big enough to... I don't know if it's not that he's not big enough. It's that he doesn't really have the tools to rebound when Love or Thompson are on the court.
Yeah, the rebounding is the biggest problem. Like, And if he can't rebound, there's just no point in him being on the floor. Like, Tristan had 4 rebounds in the first, 3-4 minutes, I think, right?
I mean, it was preposterous. I think he had 4 offensive rebounds in, the first 4 minutes. And then he also had, 2 fouls drawn. The Cavs had, at one point, it might have been at halftime. I can't remember. It was either halftime or late in the second quarter. The Cavs had a 46% offensive rebounding rate. I mean, that's just demoralizing. I mean, they weren't missing anything either, but it's brutal.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like he just had that physical around the basket. And it's not just that. It's not just the physicality. He just doesn't have the instincts. Like, you'll see him completely out of position on, half of the possessions.
Yeah. He was decent defensively this year.
No, he's been good to great defense. I'm talking about rebounding-wise, sorry.
Oh, okay, sure.
Not defensively, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a problem when your center can't rebound.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. especially, do you remember that Hawks series from last season? He had 0 offensive rebounds in 4 games.
I remember.
Matthew Dellavedova had 1.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, you would expect the ball to just sort of bounce your way at least once, but nope.
Is he not even putting his hand up? What is he doing?
I think he's just not. There's something about the Cavs that are the rock to his scissors.
Some of it has to be mental, because he can't be this bad every single time, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would expect eventually just something lucky. He had 4 offensive rebounds today.
Yeah, that's true. How many?
But they had that one possession where they had
a couple.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much credit I want to give.
There should be a way to distinguish the. There should be a way to weight rebounds in these box scores, right? And also weight turnovers, because some turnovers are live ball turnovers, which are way worse than dead ball turnovers. Because a dead ball turnover is basically a missed shot. And it's actually better than a missed shot, because the ball goes out of bounds and they have to take it in.
It depends, yeah. Yeah, that kind of turnover is actually fine.
Get an offensive rebound, too. It's hard to tell, but yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Love had 1 outlet pass attempt today, and it was a turnover.
It wasn't even close.
I think we suggested that I count those going forward. So I'm counting, and he's 0-for-1. Bearing the lead here, that was probably the only bad thing Kevin Love did all night. He had 32 points on 16 shots, 6 of 9 from 3, including starting the third quarter, 4 of 4 from 3. Yep. He gets super hot sometimes. It's pretty fun when he does that.
He was basically the reason why we didn't blow that lead in the third quarter, because the Celtics dropped 36 on us in that third.
Yeah, the Cavs defense was deplorable in the third quarter.
They were also making
the Cavs scored 31. So yeah, Boston chopped into the lead a little bit, but not enough for them actually to break a sweat.
Right. And then Tristan Thompson, 29 and 2. The 2 assists are the most impressive part, to be honest with you.
I guess, yeah. The 6 offensive rebounds are pretty nice, too.
Yeah.
And they don't show fouls drawn. There are some box scores that do, but the one I'm looking at doesn't. He drew a ton of fouls tonight. They just had no answer for him underneath. Marcus Smart fouled out of the game, I think, trying to box Thompson out. They resorted to the strategy where they would have 2 people basically assigned to Thompson, and they were still getting out rebounded.
Marcus Smart figured out that if you just hold him and the ref doesn't see it or call it, that's basically the only way he can box him out.
Yeah. 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 I mean, if you can cheat and not get caught, that's a decent strategy.
And he's pretty strong.
I don't know if that'll work going forward.
That guy, right?
Interestingly, the Cavs only had 4 more rebounds than the Celtics, 44 to 40. But
I feel like a lot of that was in garbage time, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, that's good for the Cavs. I mean, the game wasn't even close, and they still can be better on the board. They can be way better on 3-point shooting. Turnovers were not that much of a problem, only 8 turnovers. That was good to see.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll finally get Kyrie Irving back next game.
Yeah, Kyrie and J.R. Smith have... So at work, we have sort of green zone, yellow zone, and red zone. And... yeah, Kyrie and JR have been in the yellow zone for a while here, and might be pushing into red. I'm concerned about them getting back to their ceiling.
Yeah. Well, with JR, he took 2 shots. I don't even know what that. I mean, you can't say
but,
from that.
Well, you can say he's not shooting as much as he normally does.
But I mean, you have to be passed to take the shot. Yeah. Right? Like, do you remember him passing up any open
shots?
No,
I don't. I didn't feel like that.
Yeah. And he only played 23 minutes, so like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his defense was decent. And LeBron was hunting mismatches every single possession down the road, right? So,
yeah. LeBron was like a savant tonight. I mean,
yeah.
I can't remember if we've read his numbers yet, but yeah, 38 points on 24 shots, 14 of 24 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3, 9 of 11 from the line. So his hot free throw shooting continues. 9 rebounds, 7 assists, only 2 turnovers and 2 steals. And no blocks, but he kind of had that weird block on. He psyched out Isaiah Thomas.
He psyched out a bunch of folks just by like being there, yeah. which is fun. Kyrie Irving had 11 points on 46 true shooting percentage, and his true shooting percentage in the postseason has been like 49.8, I believe. It's below 50%. So that is concerning, I think. Like,
yeah,
your point guard and the guy who takes 18 shots a game, I think, can't be doing that inefficiently. Like, obviously it doesn't matter for the series, but they need to be firing on all cylinders come the finals. So
yeah. He was decent defensively. I mean,
Except for the back cuts. Those back cuts were really annoying. He had 3 possessions.
I remember 2 back cuts in the first quarter that were pretty
irritating. The third one, I think in the third quarter or in the fourth, one of those. He had another one.
I mean, to the extent you can credit him for Isaiah Thomas's bad night, and I don't know how much Kyrie should get credit for that because Shumpert and
Jr. were on. He was fine on the ball. I didn't feel like there were many possessions where he got lost on the ball, but off the ball, which is a big problem against the Warriors because those guys run those back cuts beautifully, right?
Yeah.
Like David West at the high post, and they have Klay Thompson cutting from the back. Curry with his gravity moving around off the ball. Like that's a tough possession, and Kyrie needs to be really focused in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's terrific that the Cavs are 9-0 in the playoffs and looking like it could easily be 12-0 before they get to the Warriors. But yeah, the biggest concern for the Cavs right now for me has to be Kyrie Irving. And, you know, there's been some talk about like, well, he has increased his passing. He passed tonight at 6 assists, only 2 turnovers.
I didn't feel like he was playing out of floor or anything. I thought he was completely within the flow of the offense, which has been one of my complaints in the past.
Yeah, he didn't go 6 of 20 or something. He was 4 of 11. If you're going to have low true shooting, you want to have low attempts too. Exactly. And he did.
But it is annoying that he's not making any of his threes. What was he, 1 of something tonight?
0 for 3 from 3.
0 for 3, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who shot 46%. In the playoffs last year from 3 or something ridiculous, like 42%. It was up there.
Kyrie was one of the best offensive players in the postseason last year.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't been that this year. And I mean, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see here. But if we don't get to the finals before seeing like a 35-point game out of Kyrie Irving, I'm going to remain concerned.
I don't know. One 35-point game doesn't cut it for me. I want to see consistently.
Well, sure. But...
it's also
it's all like sort of degrees of concern. I'll remain super super concerned if he gets like a 35-point game, then I'll be like, all right, well,
and a couple of efficient games after that, but then I'll be like, okay, maybe, but
yeah,
we'll see. It's just because the thing is, like, if he plays like he does tonight and he's playing within the flow, there's not much more you can ask for, right? Like, you just have to hope that the shot comes back. So
yeah. Well, moving on from our every show Kyrie roast. I didn't love Iman Shumpert's game tonight. I thought he was okay defensively.
Oh, I thought he looked like regular season Iman Shumpert again.
Yeah.
Dribbling
1 of 6 from the field. Too much dribbling. Just he wasted 2 or 3 possessions on offense. And yeah, you don't want Iman Shumpert wasting possessions for you.
Honestly, again, I think like he plays well for a little bit and thinks like, oh, I'm good, I'm back. And then he just drops off, and then he goes into this weird, depressing cycle where he's basically one of the worst possible, one of the worst players in the league. And then he gets a wake-up call. Then he plays well again for a few games, and then he's back into his old cycle of being terrible.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what's going on there, something to watch. I mean, if the Cavs are going to win all these games by 15, you have to...
Some consistency would be nice out of this guy. Like, the ebbs and flows are so annoying from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just, yeah, just to finish my thought. You have to wait for something. You have to watch for something, right? And yeah, like, I'm looking for Kyrie to improve and for Shumpert to play within himself on offense. Today marked the return of Richard Jefferson.
He played 12 minutes, 0-0-0-0-0 across the board. Yeah. Got a rebound.
Yeah. He had actually two rebounds and an assist. There were a couple. He had a couple drives to the hoop where, in parts of this season, he would dunk and he ended up passing back out.
He looked a bit hesitant. I feel open three that he just passed up. So
okay, I was wondering if you sort of saw the same thing.
I felt that way too. It's just like you haven't played in that long. You can't just show up and play the same way that you had been all season long. So.
Yeah.
Except for LeBron. He can do it, but nobody else can do it the way he can. So,
yeah. Deron Williams was also not great offensively.
Yeah, dribbled way too much. But
yeah, he did. 0 for 5 from the field.
Even Kyle Korver went one. I think we have a lot of room for improvement here, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, which the Cavs shot 48% from the field, which isn't terrific. They were 11 of 31 from three. So, the good news is they got off 31 threes, but the bad news is they only made 11. I expect them to get back up to around, 41, 42% from three. And that would have turned this 13-point game into a 19-point game. Everything else being equal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just don't know what the Celtics can do. This broke. So LeBron had been 1-10 in game ones on the road. So I guess he'd been on the road in 11 postseason series before this one. And
do you want to guess which was the one?
Ooh. I'm thinking. It wasn't. Yeah, it hasn't been during this. It hasn't been since the return. Yeah, I don't know.
It has been since the return.
Really?
Think of the first year. Who did they play in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Atlanta. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
It was on the road, yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah, they swept Atlanta.
And the reason it's... So, like, a lot of people were talking about this and thought this was odd, but it's because most of the road game ones that he has played have been in the finals. And those are, like, Western Conference powerhouses. So it's hard to win on the road against them.
Yeah, it's not... I mean, if you're on the road, that means sort of definitionally you're the inferior team. You at least had the worst regular season record. The worst regular season record. What was I going to say? Oh, man. Senior moment.
It's okay. I'll get there someday.
Yeah, you got 13 years till you catch me or whatever you are. I don't quite know how LeBron is doing this. I'm sort of like officially confused. I was having a conversation with somebody at work today. Could it be that, I think the Warriors are the best basketball team that can possibly be assembled that doesn't have LeBron James on it. But
I think that's a fair assessment.
Look, you can say like, oh, well, maybe the seventh man should be Anthony Davis instead of whatever. But they're like, with the cap rules and like all the things that, the normal requirements. They're about as good as you can possibly get without having LeBron James on the team. Right. Maybe it's just the case that the only thing that matters is having LeBron James.
I mean, that's definitely been the case throughout his career. We'll just have to see what happens in the finals. I have no clue what the Cavs are going to look like. I think they have a lot of room for improvement, too.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they can put it all together.
Yeah. They were talking on the Dunked On podcast or the second screen show today. I can't remember. About somebody asked them, have the Cavs improved defensively? And Danny was like, I don't know. He says he can't say. Toronto without Kyle Lowry is not a stiff defensive test. And, Paul George and a bunch of guys from the Y is not a very stiff defensive test. And the Cavs have been better defensively, but they haven't really played a team that they don't match up super well against. So it's just sort of hard to know. There are reasons for some optimism, but there's also reasons for pessimism. It's hard to know where they are defensively right now.
Also, Cavs have different defensive schemes every round. So, like, it's hard to take anything from one round to another, to be quite honest with you. We'll just have to see in the finals. I honestly have no clue what's going to happen. I mean, I obviously will be the underdogs, but, like, I can see us at least putting up a good fight.
Yeah, I mean, I was positive last year that the Cavs were going to lose. This year, I'm not positive. I mean, knock on wood here. Like, I just think the Cavs, even though the Warriors now have Durant, I think the Cavs...
Like this, like, we'll have a chance for sure.
Right. I mean, he's like a savant out there. Did you start watching the game? Did you see that they caught LeBron sort of sitting on the bench during warmups, and he had this like super intense look in his face, and it's just like,
he's locked in,
ready to go. He's locked in. He's fully rested, and he wasn't even really trying that hard tonight. My girlfriend pointed out that during his post game interview, he wasn't even sweating.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, he had maybe 5 minutes of real time off since he had last been on the floor. But
did you see the 538?
Maybe he's been replaced with a robot. Did I see 538? What?
The 538 article about him, where he's the most efficient driver in basketball, and a LeBron drive is the same as a Steph Curry 3.
In terms of efficiency, point expectancy or something?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. That doesn't sound crazy. I mean, it's been nice. He's been getting a lot more fouls called, to my eye, over the last like maybe five or six games.
He's been driving a lot more too, so it's...
Sure, but a lot of times he'll drive like three times, get hammered, and won't get calls, and then he sort of shies away from it. When he gets calls early, I think that sort of reinforces his drive to drive.
Yeah, I mean, the traditional feeling has always been that LeBron plus four shooters who are at least decent defensively can pretty much beat most teams.
Yeah.
It's just the question of whether other guys can provide enough help to him.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs have a lineup. It's not like the shooters he has around him are just a bunch of randoms. Like, you know, J.R. Smith and Kyrie Irving and Kyle Korver and Channing Frye are some of the best volume three-pointers in the history of the game. That you could probably leave Irving off that list, but Irving's more efficient than any of them. So, you know, we're selling him a little bit short here. He does have like a, or maybe we're selling him a little bit long, whatever. He has good teammates around him. I mean, his sort of, as he's aged and he's gotten more experienced, his ability to sort of find holes in the defense is better than ever. His passing ability, to my eye, hasn't declined at all. And yeah, these guys that he has around him are just able to make three. You know, tonight it was Kevin Love, 6 of 10.
Six of nine,
sorry. And, you know, who knows who it'll be next game. But like hoping that every single shooter gets cold is not a good strategy.
Yep.
It's not.
Hopefully it's Kyrie Irving next game. One thing I've been very impressed is with Tristan Thompson's passing. So every time they either trapped Kyrie Irving or they got lost on the screen and Tristan was wide open, he pretty much made the right decision every single time. It felt like he would either pass to the wide open man or he would pass to a cutting LeBron who'd make the second pass. It's not a very complicated pass, but I feel like a lot of bigs have issues with it. Like if you saw Ibaka in the Toronto series, he was just confused every time he got the ball. And the tricky thing about that pass is it has to be very quick, because if you take your time on the roll, then the other team has time to reset everything. So,
yeah, Tristan has gotten better as he's aged at not hastily just like pushing the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. Like he doesn't do, I've made jokes about this before, but earlier in his career, he was infamous for like the Tristan Thompson special, which is get an offensive rebound and then immediately turn it over. He doesn't do that nearly as much now, and it's makes him significantly more valuable. And that will get even better as he ages.
And with Tristan, it's been like, he'll improve. Like it hasn't been a sudden improvement in every part. Every skill set that he has, but it's been progressive improvement on a year-to-year basis. Like, he's a much better defender today than he was, you know, like even 2 years ago when LeBron came.
And he's still young enough that he's on the sort of upside of his improvement curve.
How old is he actually? I keep wondering that.
25? Well, he came out after his freshman year at Texas. He is
26. Yeah.
26, but he just turned 26 March 13th. So he's a young 26.
By the way, today is Chin's birthday. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I saw a thing on the Cavs Instagram. So that's how I keep up on these things, Arnav.
Nice.
What did you think of Boston's attempts to bait Tristan Thompson into some sort of altercation?
Yeah, that's, I don't know what they're trying to do, to be honest with you. You know, I actually
it's an odd guy to target. I mean, if you're going to target someone, target JR.
Even he like hasn't really been that explosive lately. He's been very quiet and sort of in the
back. I mean, it's sort of hard to be explosive when you're not really doing much.
Who would you target then? JR? Would you still target him? I feel like, he's probably the most likely.
Yeah, maybe Shumpert. No. I mean, Korver's not going to do anything. Jefferson, you know, doesn't have any testosterone left since he's so old, so he's not going to flip out. Same with Brian Williams. So that really only leaves LeBron, and that's not going to work. Love, probably not going to work. Yeah, I guess by process of elimination, you're down to like Tristan or JR.
Basically those two, right?
And I'm not sure JR was on the floor during that.
Jefferson's actually gotten pretty angry at... Do you remember Jonas Valanciunas in the Toronto series last year?
Yes.
He like got into his face, and he got a couple of technicals early on in the season this year too, when LeBron was like, oh, stop getting those. I need to keep... I don't want to pay your fines anymore.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, hard to target Jefferson when he only plays 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't think he played in the second half until garbage time.
Yep.
I don't remember for sure. I think that's right, though.
Can't even target Ty Lue. Like, he just doesn't... He never gets angry, to be honest.
He's so positive. He's very even-keeled. That I really admire. Like, I am not even-keeled when I watch games.
Must be tough, especially in the playoffs when, like, you know, everything comes down to, like, one or two possessions in the close game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's admirable. I'm impressed he's able to do it. I was impressed, but yeah, just wrapping that up, I was impressed that Tristan didn't really react in any sort of way against... I don't even remember what happened. Marcus Smart tried to get into it, and then Isaiah Thomas like was somehow... I don't know if he was in his face. He was at his belly button.
Yeah.
And then...
Did you see Kyrie
and then something else with Marcus Smart? I didn't see it. I saw someone tweet that Irving was like, stop talking and pointed at the scoreboard. That's awesome.
And then he started laughing.
Yeah. No, it's good that the Cavs are not reacting that. So, all right, what's going to happen in game two? More of the same?
I honestly thought if they were going to take a game, it was going to be game one.
Yeah. They'd maybe catch the Cavs sleeping, right?
I guess they could still take game two, but... I think there's a lot of room for improvement for the Cavs. I just don't think they're going to shoot this poorly, to be quite honest with you.
You can imagine the Cavs like being a little bit too smugly comfortable with what happened tonight.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like they're going to go party tomorrow night in Boston. Like, they're not going to be tired. So what would have to happen is they'd have to come out and like, you know, take something to the chin in the first quarter. Like Boston gets up 15 in the first quarter and then they can never really get back into it.
It's totally possible that Isaiah Thomas just explodes, right? Like he's done that in the past.
He looked really bad tonight. Like he looked like I would expect him to almost always look like he's super talented and he's good at creating space for his size. But I would expect that like when teams scheme against him and really focus on shutting him down, that he would struggle. And that's like exactly what happened. So it's a little bit hard for me to envision him suddenly going off. I mean, when there's a dude who's like 7 inches taller than you, like always in your face. Anyway, we'll see. The Isaiah Thomas has been counted out plenty of times. And
Cavs do scheme for him. So I think they're going to make other people beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I generally agree. One thing I wanted to mention. So I talked about this a little bit after game 7 against the Wizards for the Celtics. Amir Johnson, again, tonight played 4 minutes. Did you expect there to be a possible lineup change? I saw some speculation that Gerald Green might start. He played well in his limited minutes tonight. He was a plus 10, actually.
They made that change in the Chicago series, and it sort of flipped the series, but it's hard. I don't think it was because of Gerald Green. I think it was just because they played much better.
Yeah, other things went better. I agree, but you can imagine desperation causing them to go back to that well.
They might, and if they do, they'll have better spacing. But then how are they going to rebound? How are they going to...
Yeah, they already can't rebound.
Well, Gerald Green is a little more athletic than some of their other guys, but even then, like... Cavs are just going to hunt mismatches again. Like, who's he going to defend? Kevin Love's going to switch onto him. LeBron's going to drive him down. He's already a very negative defender, so.
Right.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah, I mean, it makes their defense even worse. Yeah, I mean, Gerald Green's only 2 inches shorter than Amir Johnson. So maybe they're not giving up too much there. Who knows? I just saw some speculation on Twitter that Gerald Green might start. It seems bizarre to start Amir Johnson. Like, look, if you don't think that's your best lineup, don't start it. I don't like when teams do that. It's confusing to me.
Yeah. It is weird. Like, and then they sort of point to it as like, oh, look, we won. No, you won because you played much better. It had nothing to do with Gerald Green or Amir Johnson in the starting lineup.
Right.
Do you have anything else?
I don't really. How about you?
No. So do you expect Cavs to win game two, or you think they'll drop that one?
I expect them to win game two. I think it's like 50-50, high 50s, 55-60% chance of winning game two.
Yeah. I think if they win game two, it's pretty much a sweep, right? Like, there's no way Boston's going to win.
I mean, game two is the local minimum for sort of win percentage. So if they win game two, I'll probably say like 75% for game three.
Can you think of all the games that the Cavs have dropped on their home floor in the last couple of years? They dropped one last season, all of playoffs, basically. The season before that, they dropped one in Chicago, I remember correctly, and then two against...
One against Chicago, yeah.
And then two against... Golden State, right? Two, three, two. Two, yeah.
Game four. They won game two, and then they lost game three.
And
game four. Right? And then they won game five at home.
They won game three. They won game three.
Oh, they won game two and three. That's right, because they were up 2-1. That's right. So they lost game four at home.
And game six, yep.
Yeah.
So they've lost three games at home.
Over the last 2 years.
Four games at home in the last...
Over the last three seasons, yeah.
Three seasons, and then one, and three of them came against Golden State, and only one came against...
I mean, I think there's two ways they lose at home. One, they get caught sleeping. Two, they play a very, very good team playing very well. I don't think Boston is a good team. So even if they do play very well, that condition isn't met. So it will have to be the Cavs sleeping. And if they get up 2-0, I think they'll want to finish it quickly.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Yeah. Teams get caught sleeping in game three when
it's on the road, I feel.
Right, exactly. And once they get up 2-0 at home.
You remember that game three against the Pacers? They were down, 23 at halftime?
Yeah, that's right. Wasn't it? It was 26 at some point, but 23 at halftime, and then they came back. I just don't think that'll happen twice. But it could. I mean, who knows? You know, everything here has, percentage chance of happening, but they're all sort of small.
And even the game that they lost at home was against Chicago when J.R. Smith was suspended. And that's Kevin Love was injured at that point. So, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, the Cavs were still sort of learning their new identity there.
Yeah.
And the Bulls team wasn't bad.
I remember Mike Miller starting that game and being horrendous.
Those were the days. Yeah, I went to both games 3 and 4 of that series. It was a weird... Game three was the Derrick Rose banked in three at the buzzer, and game four was the LeBron James 18-foot baseline jumper at the buzzer. It was a flood of emotions. Anyway, that's it for me. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Cavalytics. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @cavalyticsnba. Thanks for listening, and go Cavs!